Greetings, I'm Bill Klatke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Robin Murphy, who's Executive Director of Disability Rights Maryland. And Robin's here today to talk to us about the rights of folks with disabilities, how we can help, and important issues that really touch all of us. So, Robin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. I'm very fortunate to be here.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And first of all, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, could you tell us a little bit about Disability Rights Maryland?
Sure. So we are part of a national nonprofit advocacy organization, and the network was established by Congress approximately 40 years ago to be an advocacy organization in each state to protect and advocate for people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. In creating this network, Congress was responding to the severe abuse and neglect that was experienced by over 5,000 residents who were warehoused and segregated at Willowbrook State School in New York. And they were experiencing severe abuse and neglect while segregated in institutions.
Yeah, that's how Geraldo Rivera got his reputation.
Yes, right? For those of us who remember who
that's
he was.
Right. That's right. That's right.
So he went in. A doctor had contacted him who worked at the institution. And Geraldo Rivera went in with video. And they filmed the horrendous abuse that was occurring. And in fact, if you go on to Facebook and put in Willowbrook, you can see, if you choose to, the conditions that they were filming. They were
grim.
Really, people were naked and not fed well and in their urine feces. So Congress responded to this by creating the Protection and Advocacy Network. Mm-hmm. So we are known what's called a congressionally mandated PNA. And there is one in each state and each U.S. territory. Mm-hmm. And then we are linked by the National Disability Rights Network, another nonprofit entity that supports our work. Oh. And hence the name. We all had different names, but now we're trying to identify as a national network. So there's Disability Rights Maryland. We used to be known as the Maryland Disability Law Center. Now it's Disability Rights Maryland, and then in other states, there's Disability Rights California, Disability Rights North Carolina. So should you go to another state, same type of organization.
Great, great. How can somebody find out more information?
So the best thing to do is to go to our website, which is disabilityrightsmd.org. You can also call us at 410-727-6352. But the website is really the best entry into getting information about organizations. We have a lot of information about the different programs we have, how you can apply for our services, how you can help us. We have a support DRM little link on the top. My technical language is not the best here, but it says support DRM, and that will tell you about volunteer opportunities, both for the general public, for attorneys, because we are a legal advocacy. We're a law office. So we do have attorneys that will take cases for free from us for those cases we cannot take.
Wonderful.
So we have about 75 attorneys now that we cover them with malpractice insurance and support them with technical advice that they need to help the client. So if there's attorneys listening that are interested, check out our website there. And then we have links to our Facebook and Twitter page.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So. Thank you. Thank you. What's your background? I guess as executive director, you're supposed to make everything work, right?
Yeah. Yes. You have to know everything.
Yeah, right.
So my background is I started out as a social worker a long time ago. In Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, I went to Moravian College. And then in the course of doing the social work practice, I worked with people with intellectual disabilities, and I worked with children who identified as deprived, delinquent juveniles, who also had some educational disabilities. And through that work, I decided that instead of just counseling and helping them deal with their situations, I wanted to change their situations and be their advocate. Yeah. And that interested me in going to law school. And so my track through law school was very basically public interest work. That's what I wanted to do and represent people living at the poverty level or near the poverty level. So that's basically what I have done. my entire life at different legal advocacy organizations. I've worked for the state sometimes. I worked for juvenile public defenders in Connecticut, which was a very rewarding position, but had different positions. And then hopefully you progress and I've done management and enjoy management. And now I'm really enjoying this. This yesterday was my 1 year anniversary
at congratulations.
DRM, which we refer to it. Thank you. And so it's been very interesting because now I have a fundraising aspect and this publicity aspect in addition to knowing the legal work. But we have a fantastic staff and their passion and commitment for the work is just amazing. So it's really a joy to go to work every day.
That's wonderful. It sounds like you've definitely have found your ministry.
Yes.
Yes, that's wonderful. And you say you're part of the national network.
Correct. So we have federal statutory authority to monitor facilities, investigate suspicious incidents, and have people with help people with disabilities from abuse and neglect. So sometimes people in the institutions lack communication skills or lack the knowledge and ability to get in touch with a legal advocate. Particularly, we don't charge for our services. So people that live in institutions or residential places do not have income to hire attorneys. And so we have this federal authority that we don't have to have a consent form signed, which normally you would to get records of a person or to advocate for them. So Congress gave us the authority to go into different facilities and residential places so that we could advocate and protect for the people that are there without having the legal consent. We basically have Congress's consent. And so that's very important. Now, most all institutions around the country have been closed, not all, but there's still quite a bit of work to do and there's still residential facilities and group homes. And unfortunately, still a lot of incidents of abuse and neglect that we look into, even in Maryland. So we have our work cut out for us.
In terms of your work, you've mentioned a couple of different things. You respond to folks that are in institutions, and you also, it seems, respond to people who are not in institutions.
Exactly. So if you had all day, I could keep on talking here. So the PNAs have really expanded their work. And so our mission is really to ensure people are in the least restrictive environment. They have the widest opportunity to participate in their community, that barriers are lifted for people with disabilities. It's pretty... there's still a lot of stereotypes and myths on what people with disabilities can't do. And it's really our emphasis is on what you can do and that people can live very healthy, productive lives in the community. And that's where people with disabilities should be, regardless of what their disability is.
Absolutely.
So we represent people who have intellectual disabilities, mental health disabilities, people who are blind, people who are deaf, people who need special education services, you name it, we will help the person if it falls within our target areas for the year because we have to prioritize. We can't possibly, there's approximately 68,000 people with disabilities, I believe, I'm hoping not misquoting that fact, in Maryland. So, and there's 32 of us. So that's quite a bit.
That's quite a bit.
So what we try to do is really leverage our services and concentrate on what we call systemic advocacy. So we may represent an individual, but our goal in the representation or in doing legislative advocacy or policy advocacy will be to improve a condition for many, many people with disabilities.
It makes sense. Like what?
So, for example, we have a number of cases that we're working on. One is a housing case in Prince George's County that we filed. We have 10 what's called plaintiffs. And the plaintiffs, that's a legal term for the people that have been harmed by discrimination. And they, we represent them. And we're also an associational plaintiff against the Housing Authority of Prince George's County to get modifications in housing for people with disabilities. And there was not a lot of access. We had one client who, this is just an example of one of our 10 clients. We have a client, Dominic, who just gave him an award this year at our annual
award
ceremony. And so he has multiple sclerosis and uses a wheelchair now. He used to play sports and whatnot, but he was not able to have, according to the Housing Authority rules and regulations, someone to live with him in the apartment that he was.
Uh-huh.
We brought the lawsuit. Prince George's County has worked with us, and he is now in a first floor accessible apartment.
Wonderful.
Where he can get in and out, and his brother is living with him. And so he can provide the personal care that Dominic needs, and then he's able to really participate in his son's life and coach his football team.
That's wonderful.
That's just one example of the work that we do.
Let me ask you, is there any income limit?
We do generally have an income limit.
Uh-huh.
The Maryland Legal Services Corporation provides us with funds, and they have us limit our services to people who are living at or near the poverty level.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, if there's really an egregious case, we may go above that for an individual case not using the MLSC funds. But for the most part, we stay within people that are living at or near the poverty level.
Right. And I guess for folks with disabilities, that includes the majority of folks.
It includes many. I mean, many people are gainfully employed, but just as many people have limited incomes, what's called Social Security income, SSI, is, I think, right now $775 a month. So the need to have public housing, you can imagine trying to afford that's not even going to cover a private rent.
Right.
So our suit about having accessible units in public housing, which is a much lower rent rate, is really key. It's just critical to have a decent place for somebody to live.
Absolutely. Let's talk about if our listeners are like me, you've said, my goodness, what a need, and you know, the need far exceeds the ability. How can folks help?
So I would once again direct you to our website. We have a link on the top of the website that says Support DRM. And then if you go onto that page, it talks about volunteer opportunities, talks about how you can donate. If we're having an upcoming event, it will list that event, because we do fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, we have we get federal funds, but fundraising is really key to having us be able to really meet the need. And then people can also support us by liking us on Facebook and Twitter. We're posting probably, at least every week, if not every day. And then we also have a newsletter, an email. It's an electronic newsletter. So they can contact our office to be added to that. And we periodically do a monthly newsletter, which just highlights some of the cases we're doing. I mean, we're doing housing, education. We just this past year had two students graduate who in middle school were really identified by the school as not being mainstreamed.
Mm-hmm.
And one young man really wanted to be, he was on the football team and wanted to be with his peers. And so our agency represented his family and him for several years. And this year he graduated from high school, walked with his class, and invited our attorney to attend the graduation.
Oh, that's isn't that touching?
It was amazing.
That's a practical example about what your work, your legal work, can do.
Mm-hmm.
People sometimes forget that lawyers help people directly.
Exactly.
Yeah, there are real lives behind these lawsuits that we read about in the paper or online or whatever.
Yeah. We are not bringing what they call the frivolous lawsuits.
Right.
We
that's
are
right.
doing
Quite
things to get people basic necessities, to be included in the community, to participate in their community, which they're very capable of doing.
Wonderful, wonderful. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. Could you give us that contact information one more time, please?
Sure. It's disabilityrightsmd.org. Mm-hmm. And the number is 410-727-6352. And we welcome people to contact us, visit our website, check out our Facebook page and our Twitter page, and contact us if you need us or if you're interested in helping us.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For Living in Baltimore, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank our guest, Robin Murphy, who's Executive Director of Disability Rights Maryland, for being our guest today. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you for having me.
Keep up your good work for all of us.
Oh, no doubt about it.
And for living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.